You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
Hello and welcome to Digging Deeper. Now that we're in the age of Game of Thrones, well, no spoilers here, but of course you should know by now that Arya has killed the Night King. You know that, right? You've been given a week. If you haven't seen it beyond that, then fault on you. But I won't tell you what happened in the last episode that happened on Sunday, because that would be cruel. But now that we are in the age of Game of Thrones, let's not forget what drives the characters there. It's ambition, it's greed, it's ego, it's power. And it's not a new trope. It might be a new high fantasy based on a lot of old tropes, but let's also not forget that from Sun Tzu in The Art of War to George R.R. Martin in A Game of Thrones to Vedavyasa in Mahabharata, or indeed to any of the K serials that you've been hooked to. It is ambition, greed, and ego that have been the preoccupation of philosophers, writers, television serial makers, or storytellers in general for as long as humans have existed and stories have been told. Sun Tzu could have been warning plots of Big Little Lies when he wrote, and I quote, "Let your plans be dark and impenetrable as night, and when you move, fall like a thunderbolt." Fall here does not necessarily mean gloriously, like a lightning bolt on an enemy, but also has the kind of connotation that the feuding Singh brothers of the once glorious Ranbaxy Empire now are associated with. Fall, as in, from grace. As George R.R. Martin himself said, the things we love destroy us every time. The question though is just what did the Singh brothers, that is Shivinder and Malvinder Singh, love so much that it impelled them to go on and destroy the credibility of the very edifice they had built? On this edition of Digging Deeper, that is precisely what we talk about. How a family feud combusted and destroyed a thriving pharma empire. This is the story of the Singh brothers and Ranbaxy and everything else that happened afterwards right here on Digging Deeper with Money Control with me, Rakesh Sharma.
The Deep Dive podcast series.
The saga of the Singh brothers.
In February of this year, Quartz wrote about one of the many feuds that the two brothers were embroiled in when the older of the duo, that is Malvinder Singh, reportedly filed a criminal complaint against his own brother Shivinder, with whom he once, as we all know, ran the pharmaceutical giant Ranbaxy Laboratories. The piece spoke, among other things, about the complaint registered with the Economic Offences Wing of the Delhi Police, where Malvinder claimed that his own brother Shivinder, Gurinder Singh Dhillon, that is the spiritual head of the Radha Swami Satsang, and others, committed financial fraud and sent him death threats. He also sought $1.2 billion, that's almost 8,742 crore rupees, as compensation. The complaint also claimed that Shivinder had manipulated finances because he aspired to the status of a spiritual head within Dhillo's organization. Now, what is the story so far? The brothers used to run a thing and there's a spiritual guru involved, and one of the brothers, the older brother, has registered a complaint saying the brother and this guru and a bunch of others have committed fraud because, well, the younger brother wanted to have a position of prominence in this spiritual organization. So far, so good. Here is the twist that even George R.R. Martin could not have anticipated, that one of the brothers in the messy mix wanted to use the spoils of his jointly shared empire to fund his spiritual aspirations. Well, in the Game of Thrones world, we had the High Sparrow, but the man truly had renounced everything, but not so much this Baba that we have here. What doesn't add up in this real-life world of Ranbaxy is that one of the brothers here wanted to use the money from his business to fund his spiritual aspiration. As the piece said, and I quote, "There was a time the Singh brothers were counted among India's most revered entrepreneurs. Since then, though, they have allegedly squandered 22,500 crore rupees, stepped away from Fortis Healthcare, which was once the country's largest hospital chain, and given up their stake in one of the largest non-banking financial companies, that is Religare Enterprises." And this is a quick timeline of what went wrong when in their universe. I'm going to quote this from the Quartz piece. In June 2008, Japanese drug maker Daiichi Sankyo acquires a 34.8% stake in Ranbaxy at a valuation of $2.4 billion. Now then, in November 2008, marking one of India's biggest acquisitions, Daiichi Sankyo of Japan completes the takeover of Ranbaxy from the founding Singh family in a deal worth $4.6 billion. It ends up with a 64% stake in the company. Now that's 2008. Cut to September 2009, the next year. The US FDA, which is the Food and Drug Administration, bans a bunch of Ranbaxy drugs from the United States. And why do they do that? They say there are manufacturing deficiencies discovered at several plants in India. Now, that may have been a small problem that could have been worked out if these discrepancies were addressed. But cut to 4 years later, in May 2013, the Singh brothers plead guilty to selling adulterated drugs with intent to defraud, failing to report that the drugs did not meet specifications and making intentionally false statements to the government before a US court. Now that was problematic. They agreed to pay $500 million in fines and penalties. But 2013 did not just end there. In December 2013, US inspectors find a human hair embedded in a tablet in Ranbaxy's plant in Mohali, Punjab. An import alert is issued until all its methods, facilities, and controls are in compliance. Now, human hair in a tablet. If you're taking one such pill yourself, you'd be mortified. Come April 2014, Daiichi Sankyo sells the India unit of Ranbaxy to homegrown firm Sun Pharmaceutical Industries in an all-stock transaction at an enterprise value of $4 billion. The company is delisted from Indian stock exchanges. 2 years later, in May 2016, the Singapore International Arbitration Center orders Shivinder and Malvinder Singh brothers to pay $500 million more. Again, this is another $500 million that was in the United States. This is in Singapore. And this was for concealing information when Ranbaxy's shares were sold to Daiichi back in 2008. The authority slaps a 2,563 crore rupee fine on the brothers. And they, of course, challenge the ruling. 2 years later, in January 2018, the Japanese company, that is Daiichi Sankyo, moves the Delhi High Court to enforce the arbitration award announced by the Singapore Tribunal. Meanwhile, the brothers are accused of siphoning off money from a New York-based investor. They allegedly took 21 loans for a number of seemingly independent companies to then route at least $300 million back to privately held Singh firms on the same day. So they took a bunch of loans saying they were for different companies and eventually funneled about $300 million of money back to firms that were privately held by the Singhs. In February 2018, the very next month after that happened, the Delhi High Court, to which Daiichi Sankyo had moved, ruled in favor of the company, that is Daiichi Sankyo, and asked the Singh brothers to pay up 3,500 crore rupees. Up from 2,500 crore plus rupees in 2016 because of the added interest and legal fees. The founder-director duo then quit Fortis Healthcare amid the unending legal battle with Daiichi. They stepped down from the board of financial services firm Religare Enterprises for the same reason: too many legal troubles. In March 2018, a month after that, Daiichi Sankyo asks the Enforcement Directorate, that is the ED, to probe allegations that Malvinder and Shivinder siphoned money off Fortis Healthcare and Religare Enterprises. Now, Daiichi tips off the ED about it. In September of the same year, that is September 2018, Shivinder, that is the younger brother, formally dissociates himself from his brother and former chairman of Religare Enterprises, Sunil Godfani. He then drags them to India's quasi-court for corporates, filing a petition before the National Company Law Tribunal, alleging that decisions by Malvinder and Godfani led to a systemic undermining of the interests of the companies and their shareholders. But in the same month, in September 2018, Shivinder withdraws the petition because his mother said so. Mother intervened and said, "Bhaiya beta, ye kya kar rahe ho?" And he said, "I'm going to withdraw this petition." But that is not where it ends. In December 2018, in a video, Malvinder, the older brother, accuses Shivinder of assaulting him. A few weeks later, Religare Enterprises files a criminal complaint with the Delhi Police's Economic Offences Wing against Malvinder, Shivinder and Godfani for cheating, criminal breach of trust, misappropriation, fraud, forgery and criminal conspiracy. That is a timeline of what went wrong, where and when in the Singh brothers saga. In February of last year, Quartz had written another piece called India's Singh Brothers: How to Make and Break a Fortune in 10 Years, in which the writer Sriram Iyer had written how just 10 years ago, the Singh brothers were pretty much the poster boys of India's booming pharmaceutical industry. The story traced the timeline of the fall and recalled just how fame peaked for Malvinder Mohan Singh and Shivinder Mohan Singh in 2008 when they sold their stake in generic drug maker Ranbaxy to Japan's Daiichi Sankyo for a whopping $2.4 billion. And it's only gone downhill since then. The piece recalls a January Bloomberg report which refreshed our memory about how the Singh brothers fell from grace. Quoting, to once again read the fine print of this rather convoluted tale, the promoters of financial services firm Religare allegedly siphoned some $300 million to their privately held firms. They are also alleged to have funneled out $78 million from hospital chain Fortis Healthcare. This follows the High Court order for the Singhs to cough up, like I said earlier, 3,500 crore rupees to Daiichi Sankyo for allegedly luring the Japanese drug maker into a deal by withholding information. On the 8th of February, the billionaire brothers stepped down from Fortis Healthcare, this is last year, which reportedly decided to distance itself from the promoters' legal battles as they were hurting the firm's performance. Besides, banks were hesitant to extend even working capital loans to any company associated with the brothers. In November 2017, Malvinder stepped down from Religare Enterprises and both he and Shivinder exited the board, making way for a professional management, unquote. But things were not always so dysfunctional. Ranbaxy embodied the success of India's generic drugs industry and valued at $4.6 billion at the time of its sale in 2008. That company, because of that valuation and because of its success, had put India on the global pharmaceutical stage. But unfortunately, things fell apart. But where was the beginning? The roots of this story of the Singh brothers lies in pre-independence India in Amritsar in Punjab. Ranbaxy got its name from two cousins, Ranjit and Gurbaksh, who started a drug distribution company in 1937. But things were not great because after failing to repay a loan, the two had to forego their company in 1947 to a businessman called Bhai Mohan Singh, who had come to Delhi from Rawalpindi in Pakistan after the partition. So it was Bhai Mohan who in fact turned the company around with the best-selling drug, Campos, in 1961. It's one of the best known drugs in the country. Campos is used for a variety of stuff, mainly anxiety, muscle spasms, etc. It contains diazepam. It can also be quite addictive. But Campos was the best selling drug of Ranbaxy, and that is what made Ranbaxy quite popular. Now, Bhai Mohan Singh's son, Parvinder Singh, made the company international. He set up plants abroad. It was following the demise of Parvinder, that is Bhai Mohan's son, in 2000, that Malvinder and Shivinder decided to move the company beyond safe shores. Shivinder was still in his first year of MBA at Duke University in the US when his father passed away due to cancer. But in this story, there was another character. Parvinder's brother, that is Analjeet, who is a billionaire investor and owns the Max Group, which runs businesses from hospitals to insurance to real estate, etc. Now, Analjeet also owned Vodafone's India subsidiary till 2014, right around the time when the telecom industry went into a bit of a spiral in India. The writer on the Quartz piece says there is an uncanny knack that this family has to exit businesses at just the right time. Quoting from that piece, Malvinder and Shivinder also sold Ranbaxy at its peak. Just days after the deal, Daiichi got a rude shock from the US drug regulator in the form of an import ban on Ranbaxy, citing poor quality of its drugs. Daiichi sued, of course, the Singh brothers in 2013 and sold Ranbaxy, saying bye-bye, we don't need you, and they gave it off to Sun Pharma in 2014. It was an all-stock transaction. By then, though, the Japanese company had lost a whopping amount of 6,000 crore rupees, according to some estimates. The Singh's downward spiral may have begun after that Daiichi deal. But they'd kicked up enough dust, even on their way up. It was not just at the peak, but even as they were climbing up the ladder, they had made some noise, ruffled some feathers, and kicked up some dust. From a whistleblower's account that led to the US ban, to the brothers' alleged connection with the Clintons, they seemed to tide over all the problems that they faced. But then, that was a story 10 years ago. The mudslinging continues to this day with the brothers appealing in the Indian Supreme Court against the Delhi High Court verdict favoring Daiichi Sankyo. As the piece on Quartz says, they might fight back other charges too, and the final word may be a few years away. But the stain on their success story is here to stay. The alleged siphoning of funds in particular may lead to a wider probe. Market regulator, Securities and Exchange Board of India, that is SEBI, is already examining the issue. Once renowned for their business acumen and deal-making skills, the Singh brothers today are being subject to scrutiny and litigation, besides derision in the companies they once owned. Unquote. Business Today published a piece earlier in April this year to once again recall how the trouble for the brothers began with the implementation of the $500 million arbitration award that Singh brothers were ordered to pay to Daiichi Sankyo in 2016. That is precisely where the fall truly took place. I mean, there was a lot of troubles even getting up there, but from that point onwards, it has all been downhill. Besides, the siblings are also caught up in a financial mismanagement case in entities owned by them, including FHL and Religare Enterprises. Incidentally, Chief Justice Ranjan Gogoi, who himself has been having some troubles now, had previously made abundantly clear that the Singh brothers may be looking at jail time if found guilty of violating past court orders. Of course, the unexpected thread in this story is that nearly 2,700 crore rupees, and this is where it gets interesting, from the Ranbaxy proceeds have been allegedly routed to entities owned by one Gurinder Singh Dhillo's family. Now, Dhillo is the spiritual head of Radha Swami Satsang Bias, and the money was routed allegedly to companies associated with senior RSSB, that is Radha Swami Satsang Bias functionaries, over 3 years. That's 2,700 crore rupees. And now of that, 2,000 crore rupees was invested in two firms, namely Prius Real Estate and Prius Commercial Projects. Now separately, according to Quartz, 1,750 crore rupees was invested in Religare Enterprises and about 2,230 crore rupees in Fortis, again from Ranbaxy proceeds to fuel their growth. All these, of course, turned out to be stupid mistakes and also fatal mistakes. Quoting from the piece, the money transferred to Dhillo and Associates, estimated to be between 4,000 and 6,000 crore rupees with interest, depending on whom you ask, remains unpaid to the Singhs. The rapid and reckless expansion spree that Religare and Fortis embark on lands them in a debt trap when the slowdown hits in 2009. In the middle of all of this, there was also the global economic slowdown. Now, that is the beginning of a vicious cycle of mortgaging assets and equity in group companies to raise loans to pay off their previous liabilities. Unquote. Add to that the stain of disrepute following Daiichi's case against the brothers at the Singapore International Arbitration Center for Fraud, alleging that the brothers had withheld information before making that sale to Daiichi. As those following this story know, and by now you know, the Delhi High Court upheld that decision by the Singapore Tribunal. And of course, in February 2018, Malvinder and Shivinder resigned as directors from Fortis Healthcare's board following the Delhi High Court order. They also exited from the Religare board. Cut to now, in February 2019, Malvinder has filed a criminal complaint against Shivinder, as well as the Dhillo family and the Godhwani kin. Now, who is the Godhwani kin? Sunil and Sanjay. Sanjay headed the loss-making Religare subsidiary, Ligare Aviation. Now, in the complaint filed before the Economic Offences Wing, he has sought, like I said at the very beginning, 8,742 crore rupees owed to him by the alleged accused. Now, weeks later, India's Supreme Court summoned the Singh brothers to personally appear in court in connection with the contempt plea. FHL chairman Ravi Rajagopal also sought SEBI to order the arrest of the Singh brothers for non-compliance with its interim order. 2 months before that, the watchdog, that is SEBI, in its interim order had directed the company, along with Fortis Hospitals, to take necessary steps to recover 403 crore rupees that the Singh brothers, among others, diverted for the ultimate benefit of the parent company, that is RHC Holding and Religare Finvest. On March 14th, the Supreme Court asked the brothers to come up with plans to pay the $500 million arbitration award to Daiichi within 2 weeks. The next day, SEBI ordered Religare Finvest and its parent REL to recall loans worth over 2,315 crore rupees that were diverted to the Singh siblings. Now, less than a week later, as we know, SEBI confirmed its interim order directing FHL and Fortis Hospitals to recover 403 crores. Towards the end of the month, the Economic Offences Wing of Delhi booked the brothers on charges of cheating, criminal conspiracy, breach of trust, etc. And the FIR was filed on the complaint of Religare Finvest, which has already filed for bankruptcy proceedings. In April 2019, last month, the bench announced that it will straight away hear Daiichi's contempt petition on the date of the next hearing, that is 11th of April, and will send the brothers to jail if found guilty. So what happened on that day? The Indian Express's Prabha Raghavan also reviewed the various allegations raised over the last year, and she wrote, and I quote, Daiichi Sankyo's ongoing contempt case against former Fortis Healthcare promoters Malvinder and Shivinder in the Supreme Court has once again highlighted the brothers' financial woes. But she does point out that the biggest fallout has been the public rift between the Singh brothers, with each brother blaming the other for the family's financial situation. Any family in India would relate to that. Quoting from that piece from The Express, Shivinder, the younger one, the first to break his silence through a statement in September 2018, blamed older brother Malvinder for oppression and mismanagement of Fortis, Religare Enterprises, and the holding company RHC Holding, which is controlled by both brothers. In a petition at the NCLT, he had alleged Malvinder colluded with ex-Religare chief Sunil Godhvani to take out funds totaling 1,200 crore rupees through intercorporate deposits, that is ICDs, and loans from Fortis Healthcare and her Religare Enterprises subsidiary to pay back creditors. He alleged that such actions resulted in value loss to RHC far in excess of the amount loaned and had put it and several of the brothers' companies in a debt trap. Shivinder said, and I quote from Shivinder, "For two decades now, Malvinder and I, Shivinder Mohan Singh, have been synonymous with one another. Though the fact is, I have all along been the publicly supportive younger brother to Malvinder's chairmanship of the group, who took decisions on behalf of the family." Unquote. Bade bhaiya ne sab kiya. He later withdrew his NCLT petition, like I said earlier, because of his mother's insistence, and they said that they would resolve this issue by mediation. In March this year, Shivinder further alleged in an affidavit to the Supreme Court that the value of unencumbered assets available to satisfy Daiichi's award, including RHC's stake in Fortis Healthcare, eroded due to the Japanese company's own repeated court applications objecting to any of the Singh's proposed talks to sell Fortis. They said the value is depleted. RHC held stake in Fortis through Fortis Healthcare Holding, that is FHH. In his 2018 statement and the NCLT filing, which he later withdrew, Shivinder had made some interesting statements. He said he took public retirement in 2015 to serve in the spiritual organization, that is Radha Swami Satsang Bias, and that until October 2017, he was not involved in strategic operations of companies like Religare or RHC. And yet, it is Shivinder's involvement with RSSB that Malvinder alleges is the main cause of the depletion of the Singh's wealth and the troubles they have landed themselves in. Which brings us to, who is the Baba in the mix? Shabnam Dhillo, who happens to be Gurinder Singh Dhillo's wife, who is of course the head of RSSB, Radha Swami Satsang Bias, was a director in Prius Real Estate and Prius Commercial Projects until August 2016, according to the Ministry of Corporate Affairs. Malvinder's affidavit, Malvinder, the older brother who alleged that Shivinder, in association with this organization, have been responsible for their downfall, etc., said in that affidavit, and I quote from that affidavit now, "I say that these loans and advances have become due, however, due to the differences within the family, the recovery process for the same has been blocked. In order to further strengthen the recovery process, I have even initiated criminal proceedings against some of the borrowers who owe money to the judgment debtors before the Economic Offences Wing." Unquote. Now, his Economic Offences Wing complaint alleges that Shivinder, Sunil Godhvani and Gurinder Singh Dhillo conspired to siphon money from RHC and settle the Dhillo family's debts and dues by absorbing them in RHC. Now, the Malvinder Singh brothers have been having troubles of their own, but they've siphoned money from RHC to settle the dues and debts of the Dhillo family. Ye Dhillo kaun hai, Babaji? This includes an alleged plan by Shivinder Singh to take over six companies, including Modland Wares, Best Healthcare and Fern Healthcare, without initiating any financials and legal due diligence. The Economic Offences Wing complaint further alleged that the six companies in question had extended loans exceeding 1,000 crore rupees to the Dhillo and the Godhvani family. Modland, Fern and Best, in which the MCA, that is the Ministry of Corporate Affairs, says Shivinder is a director, were involved in fictitious and fraudulent transactions of over 400 crore rupees withdrawn from Fortis through ICDs, that is intercorporate deposits, according to SEBI. Quoting from the Indian Express, Malvinder claimed his younger brother signed a family settlement with Dhillo, agreeing to absolve him of any wrongdoing whatsoever and agreeing that no liabilities or legal proceedings or criminality would be attributable to the Radha Swami Satsang Bias chief under any circumstances. Furthermore, Daiichi, in 2018, alleged that the brothers had siphoned funds through a complex web of companies to render its award, which is now valued, as you might recall, at 3,500 crore rupees, a mere paper decree. Daiichi said, sure, the court asked these brothers to give us 3,500 crore rupees, but they've siphoned funds through this complex web of companies, etc. And now that order saying Daiichi should get 3,500 crore rupees is just a piece of paper. In October last year, Daiichi, relentless Daiichi, rushed to the Delhi High Court asking it to attach properties of several companies currently not a party to its ongoing case against the Singhs. Now, the lawyers of Daiichi alleged in court that the siblings, via companies controlled by them, were routing funds to downstream companies, which further used those funds to settle debts of landowning companies. Over 2,500 crore rupees was diverted this way, according to them. Daiichi's senior lawyer told the High Court during the proceedings to enforce its award. Very colourfully, he said, show me the colour of money. Daiichi Sankyo, first of all, bought Ranbaxy after not being given full information. And then since then, it has been trouble after trouble. It got rid of Ranbaxy to Sun Pharmaceuticals. And since then, it has been trying to get some money out. Some people say they've spent about 6,000 crore rupees in the process, and they haven't recovered the 3,500 crore rupees that the Delhi High Court asked the brothers to give to them. So if there is any single entity that has suffered at the hands of the Singh brothers most, according to at least all this reporting, it is certainly Daiichi Sankyo. Daiichi, though, in its application to the High Court last year, claimed that respondents ANR Securities, RHC Holding, Ranchem and Malvinder Singh, as trustee of Bhai Hospital Trust, hold and control Prius Real Estate, in which they infused funds through debentures. According to the company, the book value of debentures held by these four entities in Prius Real Estate amounted to 1,429.5 crore rupees. Quoting from the Express, in a separate application, it alleged that the Singhs used their jointly owned entity, another one called Shimal Healthcare, Shivinder Malvinder Shimal Healthcare, to divert funds through preference shares and debentures, and that the brothers, through fraudulent conduct, diverted an enormous sum of 1,407.33 crore rupees to entities in the Shimal group. Shimal had been used to siphon large amounts of monies to various entities related to the Singhs, including Fern, Pest and Modland, which further routed the funds to other entities. So it's sort of like sedimentation. You know, when you do a vertical cut of the various layers of the earth, so it goes from there to there to there to there to there. So all the money was siphoned off through all of these baby little projects. It's like a Matryoshka doll. Routing through a routing through a routing. So basically, Daiichi said, you know what? It's not just this one group of companies. They just, you know, siphon money from here to that one and from then to the next one and then to the next one and so on. In a Mint piece, former Minister Kapil Sibal said something interesting, and I quote, "Their nearly 6,300 crore rupees has been siphoned off by some Baba. These children have been duped," unquote. I'm not entirely sure if it's just the Baba's fault. The Singh brothers have been up to their own mischief, even without the involvement of the Baba. And several news sources seem to agree with me. They do say there was nothing innocent about any of the players involved here. Fresh evidence has actually shown that Shivinder was not only directing crucial decisions in the group, but was also drawing a salary from two group companies. And this is the same man who said he took public retirement in 2015 and was not doing anything until 2017 and that the brother was doing everything. Bhai, no. There is recent evidence to show that he was making crucial decisions. Evidence available with Business Today suggests that Shivinder had never really dissociated from the group, despite that statement of his in 2018. He had claimed that he had moved to a spiritual ashram to devote his time and energy to what he said was full-time charitable service. He had also claimed that he had resigned from all executive positions and voluntarily asked to be removed from all committees of Fortis. But documents in possession of Business Today suggests that in the period of January 2016 to September 2017, when he said he was not involved in the affairs of the group, because, you know, he was doing full-time charitable service, he was in fact drawing a salary from ANR Securities and Ranchem. Business Today said, and I quote, "Shivinder's Form 16 submitted to the IT department suggests that he drew a gross salary of 21.75 lakh rupees per month each from the two subsidiaries of RHC Holding, that is the group holding firm. Together, the two firms paid him 9.12 crore rupees in the period of January 2016 to September 2017 as gross salary and 5.9 crore rupees as net post-tax salary during this period of his alleged retirement. Besides, there are multiple documents which suggest that far from retirement, Shivinder was deeply involved in the group's affairs. He directed deals, he advised board meetings and schedules, and often intervened in discussions, even leading them at times. Bhai, ye kya full-time charitable work, man? You were drawing more money in a month than I would in a whole year or more. So that affidavit was clearly false. This is, of course, a story that has been reported ad nauseum by various different news agencies simply because it is so juicy. As Forbes' Megha Bari reported, the ongoing slugfest between the brothers has returned again. And now this is a new round of allegations. Malvinder Singh's complaint is the latest in this salvo of allegations against each other. He has, of course, filed a criminal complaint against Shivinder and others, alleging that they have made death threats and committed fraud. Apart from his younger brother, Malvinder has leveled accusations at the Baba, Gurinder Singh Dhillo, and a few of his family members as well as Sunil Godhvani. In the complaint, Malvinder accuses Dhillo of threatening to kill him if he failed to agree to his demands. It was not clear exactly what those demands were, but this is the first time that Malvinder has publicly accused the family's spiritual guru, that is his Gurinder Singh Dhillo, of any impropriety. The rift between the brothers became public when Shivinder formally dissociated himself from his brother, who basically said it was him and Godhvani who were the problems at the group. So basically both brothers are being Reema Lagu and her daughter-in-law going tutu meme. And in between this, Godhvani is a common factor. Both of them saying, you did this with Godhvani, you did this with Godhvani. But the older brother Malvinder is saying, you Shivinder, Chota Bhai and Godhvani and Baba, you have done all these things together and even threatened to kill me.
Hai Ram.
It's hard to imagine in the middle of all of this mudslinging and allegations and counter-allegations, punches and counter-punches, that these two brothers once had a fortune that was valued in excess of $2 billion and could have built the kind of legacy that the founders back in the 1940s had, you know, imagined when they first founded a small but ambitious company. There are some companies that have stood the test of time. They have been around us for centuries now and continue to thrive. And there are some which have crumpled to dust right before our own eyes. I'm reminded of Tolstoy's lines in Anna Karenina. He says, happy families are all alike. Every unhappy family is unhappy in its own way. What led to the ungluing of the Singh family, we could never tell. But there were several things in the mix, including what we began the podcast with. Greed, ego, power, and with it all, a potent mix of one Baba. It's a bit like the Baratheon brothers. There's Robert, there is Renly, and there is Stannis. And you do realize there was a Baba in the mix. In that case, it was Melisandre. Melisandre at least eventually proved to be useful. But in this case, how useful this Baba is, or how detrimental he eventually proves to be to the brothers, only time will tell.
This has been a Digging Deeper podcast. And you have been listening to Money Control.